Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alex Italanda here. This will be a shorter intro. If you want the full one, check out the first part of the Behind the Ostima series, which I highly recommend if you want to do this in order. And if you enjoyed the first episode and would like access to the whole series, you can do that on the Ostium Network Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. At the $5 tier, you can get access to the 40-plus episodes of the Behind the Ostium series, plus ad-free episodes of the Ostium Network shows, and a whole bunch of bonus material. So let's get started with the next episode of Behind the Ostium, where I sit down with Dwayne Farver of the Manifestations podcast and a big fan of the show, and we talk about the ins and outs of our favorite show, the Ostium podcast.
So here we are at day two of PodCon. We had a fun, busy day yesterday, and today we got more panels and more friends and people to see, and I thought we'd do a little kind of Behind the Ostium background thing as you're a fan and have some questions for me, and we can just talk about anything Ostium, I thought.
Sure. So I was on the flight here, I was trying to think, you know, what as a broad base of fans might want to know, and personally. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I've heard you say before, what was the initial inspiration for the Ostium story?
Well, one was I knew I wanted to do a podcast. That was after listening to Night Vale and a few other ones, Limetown, stuff like that. I thought maybe I could try this as a avenue of doing my writing in some way, because the novel short story avenue is a very long and tedious one of going through traditional publishing and all that. And this seemed a more quicker way of where you can just write it, record it, and then it's out there, sort of thing. And then it just kind of came together as an idea of I wanted to make a story about something compelling. And it popped into my head. I wanted to do it kind of local, close to me. And then the idea of GeoGuessr came in, and then it kind of just all flowed from there. Of like, well, what if you found a weird place in GeoGuessr that wasn't really on any map and might lead to something really mysterious? And after that, it was the, well, there's a road sign you see, and it says population zero. And that was a new mystery. And then I was kind of just building on mystery after mystery. And
okay.
Then I added Jake.
Okay. That actually answers question two. Was it conceived as a podcast, or did you originally?
Yes. It was always intended as a podcast, but it also works as books and stories and stuff. And especially now with how the worlds open up, it can go anywhere to TV shows, movies, everything. And I've got lots of like kind of offshoots and tangents I can do and things like that. Just like now there's a new podcast coming, Cersei Podcast, which has been an offshoot of a character that I never expected her to have her own podcast, but it's turned out that way that she had her story to tell, and she really wanted to tell it. Okay. So I had to give her her own show.
Okay. So we're currently right now at the end of season three.
Mm-hmm.
And at least from my perspective, each season has a different feel.
Right.
The story that's going on definitely, as you're listening to it, I could listen to an episode just at random, like, oh, that's from season two, mm-hmm. or wherever.
And that was, I wouldn't say it was always my intention from the beginning, but as I've gone along, that's kind of been my hope. And I see it more as I'm writing a book series sort of thing, and each season is one of those books.
Okay.
So they're their own kind of self-contained stories in the season, but they're also part of the overarching ongoing series.
And a follow-up to that is the story now, I'll go with season three since that's mm-hmm. what we've all heard, where you originally intended it to go?
I didn't always know where it was going to go, because my style of writing is a little bit of outline. If I'm doing a novel, I'll do a little more outline. But going and doing minimal outlining and then kind of just starting with the characters and seeing where they lead the story. I gave Jake the setting, and then I kind of let him free to do and find his story. Roanoke, I think, did come to me initially as, oh, that's the first door it's going to be. But then after that, it all kind of flowed. Like, oh, okay, I want to do another cool historical place. I'll do the Mary Celeste. And then after that, it was, well, now I want to change it up a little and show something different in the world. So then he shot to the future in Mars. But then after that, it totally became his story of, well, now I'm going to go back to a place I've known from my childhood and stuff like that. And it kind of just all flowed from there.
I'm going to skip around on my questions then, because that actually leads into... So based on the story, especially the Ostium files that you're mm-hmm. writing with the fan doors, it seems like you have more than a small interest in history and science.
Yes, definitely.
and I, as a fan, I appreciate that because I have the same interest. I'm thinking like possibly you're interested in like aerospace, like space travel mm-hmm. type things more than others. Number one, is that accurate?
Definitely. I'm interested in a lot of things. And I find, you know, write what you know sort of thing. It's stuff I'm interested in. And as I read about it, I'll start writing about it. Like you might notice the Voyager episode, if you go back, it kind of ties in pretty close to when Voyager left the solar system, like I think it was 6 months before or something like that. And that was like, oh, that's just happened. Oh, I really like that. I remember being a big thing on X-Files and stuff like that in an X-Files episode. And that's when I wrote about that sort of thing.
Okay.
I have a medieval history degree. I've always been really interested in history. I listen to a lot of science podcasts. And definitely when I'm listening to stuff, whether it be science or history or things like that, if there's something that catches me, I'll either remember it or make a note about it or whatever. And then sometimes it'll turn into a story. The episode in season two, I don't remember which one it was. It was the second one where they find the skull cult thing. That was actually a amalgamation of different history stories, archaeological stories I found. One was about a Turkish cult that was discovered in Turkey, like way back when. And I'm not sure if they were doing this. It was about a skull cult where they had found all these skulls. But then it was also a story about an old cave they found in South Africa where they were excavating it and it kept going further and further back. But it was a really narrow passage, so they actually had to get short interns from around the world. Like that was their requirement to be able to fit through this narrow like tunnel to get to see what was on the other side. And it was just a few bones, but then I added the mystery of this weird giant skull that isn't human.
Okay. So we hear you, Chris, in Georgia all the time. Mm-hmm. How much interaction or how much influence do they have on their characters?
Initially, I think because I think Georgia's done some recording stuff before, and Chris has done his own thing, but not necessarily as a portraying a character or anything like that. He used to have his own online zine sort of thing, and he did recordings and stuff like that. So I think they came into it relatively new, and to begin with, it was pretty much sticking to the script sort of thing. And it changed also as I, starting Ostium, hadn't done a podcast or anything like that before too, so I changed as well. And as they became more and more comfortable in their characters, I encouraged them to just record everything, mistakes, all that stuff, and then send it to me, and then I can always edit it accordingly. And in so doing, they'll end up changing words occasionally or saying things differently. George is really good about saying, well, that's not how Monica would say it, or that's not grammatically correct, or whatever, and then she'll just change it or redo it or something like that. Yeah.
I enjoy her outtakes.
Yeah, they're great. So now I really encourage it, yeah, just to do it your way if it doesn't feel, because I feel like they've really gotten settled into their characters and they know what they should be saying. Whether they're aware always if they change a word or say something differently or not, I like to think it's just the character coming through as they're recording it, and I'm always happy to keep it.
Okay. That's all I had written.
Mm-hmm.
So the only other thing from this weekend that I've been seeing, just from meeting a lot of other podcast creators here, is that a lot of their stories are personal. So is this more of a personal story or just a story that you're very personally invested in? It may not be translating mm-hmm. from your personal life, but just...
Definitely personally invested in. I've really enjoyed where it's taken me, because I never saw where it was going to go, sort of thing. And it's very, I didn't always know where it's going to go next season until I get there, sort of thing. And while there's not really that much of me in it, I've definitely found in all of my writing, when I look at it, it's kind of a freaky thing you can do when you look at all your writing together and you see certain themes in there. And I always, for some reason, whether I don't intentionally do it, have a person trying to find somewhere and feeling they don't belong.
Okay.
And it's always there. And it's like, what, you know, fantasy, whatever genre it is, it's always a person who doesn't feel they're in the right setting, that they're where they belong, and there's someone they're trying, somewhere they're trying to get to. And it wasn't my intention again, but it just, that's what happened in Ostium too.
As a fan, speaking personally for mm-hmm. myself, that's part of what drew me to Ostium.
Mm-hmm.
I really resonated with the character Jake.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been just as curious as him finding GeoGuessr.
So you said Jake was, you kind of saw yourself in Jake a little bit?
Yes. Using GeoGuessr. I thought GeoGuessr was something you had made up at first, and then I come to find out it's real, and then...
Will did, who does the reviews and everything. Yeah, she didn't think it was real, and then saw, what? Oh, it's a real thing?
Yeah, so the second time I played GeoGuessr, I got 5,000 points. It was very surprising. I got spot on. Close?
Wow. Do you know where it was?
It was somewhere in Baja, California. I saw a lot of things that looked familiar. I had spent 3 months in Southern California when I was younger, and I'm like, this doesn't look like California, but I bet it's Baja. And then I just started looking around, and I'm like, I found it. It was very, very surprising.
Definitely with Jake, there's, I think, bits of me in there, bits of me, and then bits of Chris as well. Because as I was writing Jake, I had Chris in my mind, and of the type of guy he is and things like that. Like sometimes Jake is a little indecisive. Chris is always like that. It's really hard to get him to pin down on anything.
Okay.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
But I do like the character of Jake. Not that he's uncommitted, but he's willing to change.
Mm-hmm. Adapt, yeah.
Adapt, yeah. That's a right. Very good word. I like how he... Very curious to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I resonate with that. If I was put into a situation, like a room full of buttons, I don't know what they do, but I'm going to start pressing mm-hmm. some of them.
Yeah. I'm again, I think that's a little over me being curious and, not necessarily being indecisive, but I can't always make a decision right on the spot when I need to for certain things. And my wife knows this well. And then she's like, I'll give you some time to think about it or whatever. And then you'll come to your decision because that's how you are. And that's kind of how Jake is a little stuff. But then I also have been trying to push him into having to be more decisive and kind of being the leader because he seems to be the guy that knows a lot about everything going on. And when they need to make a call, he's the one who needs to usually do it.
Especially at the end of season 3, Jake seems to have gotten some information or made some realizations.
Right. Well, and when he went through the blackness and kind of, yeah, became changed in some way.
Bro, I'm very interested to find out exactly what those changes entail.
I am too.
and the new character that we met, mm-hmm. The personification of the blackness.
The creature thing, yeah, whatever that is, yeah. I mean, I know a little bit more of that, which I won't say yet, but there will be more explained in season 4.
I thought as we were going through season 2, finding out about Gibraltar,
mm-hmm.
I had a very clear picture in my mind. I knew exactly where the story was going, mm-hmm. so season 3 broke that completely.
Oh, good.
Yes. I won't say, I won't, just in case in the background,
one of
the
things it does happen.
Is really true. Just one thing I'm holding out hope for. But yeah, I thought Monica was a little bit more involved. So that did come to light a little bit with Ostium.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought she was much, much more involved. Mm-hmm. So I'm holding out for my secondary theory still being true.
And again, it was one of those things that kind of just developed as the character developed and... No, I think I'm going to do another Behind the Ostium on talking about season 1 and how her character developed and how originally had her trying to be, definitely was that she wasn't as she appeared to be and there was something else going on. And then I added that military element where she might have been with the military. And I remember when I was originally coming up with ideas, I was like, well, maybe she's an alien or she's from another dimension or something. And then it ended up being, no, she's just from the future.
I can't think of anything else that I want to know, but we've been talking all weekend, so I've gotten a lot of information. I wish I would have saved some some questions cool. for this.
That's okay. And then we have your little thing you're doing here.
Yeah, and
door 129 that
door 129 turning into manifesting itself into something new. That's my working title, mm-hmm. Manifestations.
Okay, yeah. And it began as the story in Centralia.
Writing my own ostium door story, but I didn't want to base it too much on your own ostium door, so mm-hmm. your fan mm-hmm. stories. So that's why I just sort of was falling through a blackness, not Jake-like falling through blackness, mm-hmm. but starting out in the blackness, finding myself in Centralia, which is a town that's, 15 minutes maybe from where I live.
Again, you're going local because it's familiar and...
Correct. And it's not completely abandoned. Mm-hmm. There are some holdouts who won't leave even though it's completely unsafe to live there and their house could fall through the ground into a burning coal pit.
But they still live like it's a normal home sort of thing and have a job elsewhere?
Yes. Yeah, there's absolutely no industry or jobs in the town of Centralia. It was a very small town to begin with.
Yeah.
The houses were built by the coal company, so they were on top of each other. They were not, individual homes. They were mm-hmm. row homes. All the same. And the ones that were vacant were torn down, so they had to build supports on the sides of the walls where they tore down the houses to let the one that remains. Yeah, it's a very peculiar image when you go there. And if you go into the restricted area where no one's supposed to go because the road looks like it's heaved up in spots and higher on some side and there's cracks, you don't see a lot of smoke coming out from the fire anymore these days. But you'd walk down that part of the road and you'd see, venting smoke from the fire.
Sounds like Limetown or something.
a little bit. The way they were describing one of the towns in Tanis, too, mm-hmm. Reminded me of this. It's restricted. You can get, I don't know that the police would do too much to you other than ask you to leave. But people go there. They call it Graffiti Highway now, the section of road that, mm-hmm. that was rebuilt to go around the fire area. People go there and they spray paint it and tag it with graffiti. So my story there was going back to the day when no one really knows exactly how the fire was started. The main theory is that in the town landfill, they did controlled burns every once in a while to reduce what was there to ash.
Right.
And there was a clay barrier between the landfill and the ground below, and it wasn't properly installed or wasn't maintained, and it let the fire spread to the coal vein underneath the town. Mm. And then a lot of the locals feel that it was a conspiracy by the government to get them off of the land so that they could extract the precious minerals under the land.
Didn't it all burn?
The only thing precious under there was the coal, which was on fire.
You're right.
So, yeah, but the locals...
Which is what they wanted to do with the coal, just not have it be under the ground. But
they thought there were diamonds and gold that the government was trying to take from them.
They were sitting on a cache of treasure and they wanted
exactly. So then all of the people that I let read the story, very short, so it was fill a pamphlet, not even a short story, were asking me, so what comes next? And I was like, I didn't have anything next. That was just a self-contained little story. But I left it open-ended. And so I went and thought about it and I'm like, well, what would happen next? And I just decided to take it in a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. So if I was back in time and when I was done, I was leaving and I was going back into a black area, where would I go next?
Right.
Would it have to be back to where I came from, the present, or would it be somewhere in the far past? And I decided far future. I'm very interested in the genre called solar punk. It's a very hopeful view of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why my story...
And solar punk, so that's what it is? So it's kind of a positive thing as opposed to...
I think a lot of solar punk deals with a very conservationist viewpoint mm-hmm. of the future mm-hmm. and sustainable
looking. We screwed up the planet, now we need to fix it, and we need to not make the same mistake
correct,
again.
Correct, correct. And that's where kind of my story goes, mm-hmm. where there's... terrible natural disasters and a lot of the population dies and the complete collapse of infrastructure, electricity gone, running water gone, having to rely on people you don't even know to survive is, mm-hmm. is, you know, your day-to-day living. And that's not really where my story's at. That's just how the world where I'm right. writing in got to. And it's a utopian type of a view. I don't personally think that anything is a true utopia, so I'm building in some flaws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things to there's always going to be room for
improvement. You need to have conflict for a good story.
Correct. And that.
Yeah.
So the continuation of my story is me out of place, not in my own body again, mm-hmm. and trying to deal with finding out, number one, what's going on in the world. Number two, also now finding out that the person whose body I'm in is a bit of a jerk. No one really likes him. He is talented and gets stuff done, but he's not likable. And
doesn't really know what he's doing. Well, you don't really know what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and correct. You're kind of going along and seeing how you can get by without before you get noticed.
And then finding out that, yes, someone there does know my secret, and, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm writing now is right. how, why, where do we go from there?
And we'll see how we release these, if we're going to release them as a Patreon exclusive series or a standalone series or even your own show. We'll see how it develops. Yeah,
I'm very yeah. thankful and grateful for all of the support and help.
Telly fits into the Ostium world because this is just another door he's gone through now, and
yeah,
it's another possible world.
And we were talking about I won't give too much away, but we were talking about something in Ostium that would almost precisely tie into mm-hmm. the AI that yes. I'm writing mm-hmm. in my story.
So. Yeah, so there's details that cross over. And that's what I've really been happy with Ostium is just, while I didn't set out to create a giant world that I could keep building and building on and having all these offshoots and tangents, it's worked out that way. And out of all the writing projects I've really had in my life till this one has been the most freeing. I really have no problem writing it. Even when I tell myself, oh, I got to write this next thing, and I know roughly how it's going to go, but I don't know where it's going to lead to next and how it's going to go and how tough it's going to be. And then when I sit down to write it, it just pours out. Once Jake or Monica or Dave start talking, then it just comes out. And it's really enjoyable to write.
It's enjoyable to listen to. I think it comes through.
Mm-hmm.
The story doesn't seem forced.
Right. Which is good. And I do have an ending in mind. But as I've told other people, it's very far away. And I hope I don't get to it too soon.
Take your time getting there. So.
Well, there's lots of many different roads along the way, see? And forks and sidetracks.
And you've got the second show now that's
connected. And Cersei, yeah. Well, that's her story, which will make much more sense at the end of season 4.
Okay.
Who it is and what's going on there and why there is a story. And my goal with that is it's it's kind of a Lord of the Rings story, fantasy on the world of Albion. And instead of being Gandalf or Frodo, she's a gay sorceress.
Are we... You said at the end of season 4 we'll know more about mm-hmm. her. Are we going to meet her early in season 4 or
possibly? I don't want to say too much,
okay.
but it all makes sense at the end of season 4.
Okay.
It'll all come together. You'll get hints and stuff, and then once you get, I mean, you've had clues already, but you don't always know until you get to the end how it's all going to link together and stuff.
I see a re-listen coming in on my plane ride home.
Well, I'll be putting together the supercut of season 3. I'll start putting it together probably once I get back, and then that'll come out March. Yeah, in time for season 4 to be released in April, or end of February probably, because I'll do it in 3 parts again like that. So that way you can binge the whole season 3 real quick and go into season 4. And then into season 4, which will finish, I think, like August? You have to check the schedule, August, September, which should hopefully tie right in with I'm hoping to get Cersei then started right around then or in the winter. And then season 5 of Ostium will start January. And that's going to be a crossover bonanza if everything works out fine. If everything works out perfectly and we all get it done, it'll be 19 crossover episodes, shorter, 10 to 15 minutes, and then one finale.
That sounds amazing.
Fingers crossed. We're a year away, so that's my hope, is that we can get it all done. Okay. All right. I think that wraps it up.
All right. Thank you.
That was fun.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.